What do you eat for breakfast most days?
For most days, I probably have either a smoothie bowl in summer and probably porridge in the colder months.
What's your favorite go-to snack?
My favorite go-to snack would probably be a trail mix with just nuts and dried fruit.
What's your favorite takeout food?
To be honest, I don't really get takeout very often, but if it comes to eating out, then it's probably Thai or Vietnamese food.
Excluding spices and oils, what are your top three pantry ingredients?
Definitely oats. I'd say tahini and I guess soy sauce.
Any kitchen gadgets you can't live without?
My Vitamix blender, for sure. That's the one thing that I cannot live without.
Hey, Tedra.
Hey, Julie.
So today on the show, we were speaking with Viola Ho, the woman behind the Sunshine Eatery. She specializes in plant-based and vegan recipes that she has developed with a loyal following on Instagram and YouTube. Viola is born and raised in Germany and has a flawless English accent. During our chat, we discovered she is fluent in three languages, German, Mandarin, and English, and not to mention a few years of French under her belt. She recently completed her thesis, so congrats to Viola on this great accomplishment. In this episode, we chat about her love of food and how the Sunshine Eatery came to be. We found ourselves truly inspired by Viola's sweet and positive spirit that really shines through in her YouTube video series as well. We promise you will love watching her cook. You're listening to We Get to Know podcast, and for years, we have all been following some of the most inspiring creatives, innovators, social media influencers, and bloggers. Simply put, we get inspired. The next best thing to following our favorite people is hearing their stories straight from them. So listen in as we get to know Viola. Hi, Viola. Welcome to the show today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're excited to talk to you. So tell us first, where are we talking to you from?
I'm in Hamburg in Germany right now.
Okay. And where are you from originally?
So I'm Chinese. So I was born to two Chinese parents, but I was born and raised in Germany.
Wow. Okay. You have a great accent.
Thank you so much.
So what is Hamburg like?
Hamburg, we were actually really, really lucky this summer because it was very, very sunny up till the end of October pretty much. And then we pretty much didn't have any fall, or maybe fall for a week or two, and then it just swung to winter.
Oh.
But no, it's fine. I'm excited about Christmas, so.
Yeah. I saw on one of your, maybe it was one of your videos that we can talk about in a little bit, but you were at a spin class, and the view from your spin class had this gorgeous river running through the town. It looks so pretty.
Yeah, that's Hamburg. It's really nice because it is a harbor city, so you have a lot of like canals and lakes and stuff like that. And even where I work is right by a river, so you always have a view onto the water, which is really nice.
Wow. Yeah. Before I knew where you were from, I saw that video and I thought, gosh, where is this beautiful place? Okay. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing and siblings, and your parents are, you're Chinese, where you went to school, all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, as I said, my parents are both Chinese. I was born and raised in Germany in a city that's close to Frankfurt. So right in the middle of Germany. And I have an older brother. He's actually in London, and yeah, it was just growing up, it was just the two of us and our parents, and I went to school in Germany for the most part, and then for high school, my sophomore year of high school, I spent in the States. It was in Idlewild, California, at a performing arts boarding high school.
Oh, so wow.
I went there for a year.
Is that typical for Germans to do that during high school?
It's quite typical for Germans to study abroad their 10th grade, yeah. But it's not very common that people go to boarding schools. Usually they end up spending a year at a host family and going to a regular state high school. But I went to a private boarding school just because I really wanted to just do performing arts. I grew up really wanting to be a singer. And then I ended up going there to the Idlewild Arts Academy for musical theater for a year. And so that part is a little bit unusual. But yeah, studying abroad, 10th grade of high school is pretty common here.
Yeah. So what was that like? Was that hard for you being in 10th grade, being in California versus in your hometown in Germany?
No, surprisingly, it wasn't. It was definitely me who told my parents that I really wanted to go, and it was me who applied, and I had to audition and all that. But yeah, in hindsight, I feel like I was really young because I flew there and I was still 14, and then I turned 15. And just now thinking about it and thinking of the perspective that my parents must have had of
no kidding
13-year-old, you know.
Just yes. Well, I have that's Tiffany. I have a 14-year-old. She's a freshman in high school, mm-hmm. and I thought, I mean, no way, I would never be able to do that. Send her to Germany to boarding school.
Yeah, I was really young, but at the same time, I didn't feel young, as you never do when you're young.
True.
And I guess my parents felt like they could rely on me being responsible enough. Yeah.
Right.
To let me go.
So what was your audition? What did that, were you singing for that?
Yeah, I had to sing and do like a monologue since it was musical theater.
Oh my gosh. So do you still sing now?
I do, but it's mostly just for myself.
Like beyond singing in the shower?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely sing a lot when I'm at home. I'm sure I bother my neighbors quite a bit, but yeah, I kind of gave up on, well, not really giving up, but I just, it just didn't really fit into my schedule once I completed high school and then moved on to university, just because my schedule completely shifted. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you moved back to Germany and then you finished high school, and then did you go to college in Germany?
Yeah. So I studied psychology as an undergrad in Germany. And then I also did a master's, which I just completed.
I know. I saw. Congrats.
Yeah. I handed in my master's thesis just a couple weeks ago. And then next week I have to go and defend it. So do it like a final presentation. And then, yeah.
What is the topic?
It was on Asian American stereotypes and how that could either negatively or positively affect hiring decisions when it comes to leadership positions.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, so I studied business psychology for my master's degree. Yeah. So it was kind of like a more psychological research, and I had to do like a study and everything. Yeah.
That's so interesting, a business psychology. What would be the ideal dream job in that space?
Interesting question. I feel like you can go into a lot of professions when you study business psychology. A lot of my friends, they moved on to doing more industrial organizational psychology, so ended up in HR for the most part. But I chose to go into marketing instead.
Oh, nice. How long did your thesis take you?
My thesis took me probably roughly 4 to 5 months, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because the writing part that was difficult, it was just a lot of preparational work that you have to do when you conduct a study, and then you have to wait for people to participate, which was a struggle. But yeah, so that's why it took quite a long time.
And so what was the day like when you turned that in?
It was relief, but it was also just, all right, just take it and like never think about it again kind of thing.
I know. Oh my gosh. What an accomplishment though.
Thank you so
much. That's a lot of work. A lot of work. Okay. So tell me, I want to hear how you transitioned into food and mm-hmm. talking about food and kind of your whole feed on Instagram and the Sunshine Eatery, which is the cutest name. I'm going to ask you in a minute how you got that name. But how did that all start?
So that originally started when I was still studying psychology as an undergrad. I think the main motivation was I think I always loved cooking. There was a period during high school, actually, where I became obsessed with different food blogs and just Googling recipes and finding out what the ingredients are behind certain dishes. But back then, since I still didn't own my own kitchen, I didn't cook very much. I did some baking, but it wasn't like something that I would do on the regular. And then once I moved out, I obviously had to cook for myself. And at that point, I had already loved cooking and also loved taking pictures on the side, but it was mostly something that I would do when I would go traveling, or I would shoot mostly my friends or something like that. But I never put the two together until one of my friends, actually, she started doing food photography on Instagram very, very early. So when I met her, and she was one of my good friends from university, she studied psychology with me. She kind of pushed me to just start doing it. And she was pretty big at that time already. And that's kind of also how we bonded, because we just had a shared love for food. And that's kind of how it all started. And then at that point, I was still, you know, taking pictures with my iPhone, no camera. Back then, I don't even feel like there was no such thing as a business account or kind of like a whole business aspect behind Instagram.
Right.
Or even the word influencer didn't exist back then. It was very just raw in a sense.
Right. You were just sharing your photos.
Yeah.
Hey guys, we're going to pause for a minute to tell you about one of our partners. Anyone interested in 30% off the best vitamins? We know health and nutrition is important to everyone. One thing that goes hand in hand with our health is supplemental care. We've partnered with Dr. C Vitamins to offer you a 30% discount off their premium pharmaceutical grade and medically endorsed line of supplements. All vitamins are not created equal. In fact, there is no FDA oversight for supplements. Unlike over-the-counter vitamins, Dr. C supplements are manufactured without commonly found synthetic ingredients. I mean, you guys, who wants synthetics going into our bodies? They're also non-GMO and gluten-free. Their standards are so high, these vitamins are actually manufactured just like a prescription drug would be in an FDA-registered facility. Most vitamins do not subject themselves to this level of oversight. People are always asking if we take these personally, and we do. I take the D3 K2 combo to support bone health, memory, mood, and immune support, and their collagen biotin that supports strong hair, nails, and skin. And then when I'm having those nights where I'm having a hard time falling asleep and unwinding, I take the melatonin B6 combo, and it really helps me gently fall asleep naturally. So give them a try, you guys. Go to drccares.com, use our code WEGETTOKNOW, and save 30% on your next order. Now enjoy the rest of the interview.
Okay, so then tell me how that got you to where you are today. You started sharing them. And by the way, your photos, how did you teach yourself photography? You started with an iPhone, but your photos have this like super earthy, just beautiful quality to them.
Thank you.
They're
so much.
Really, really beautiful.
Thank you. I think it was just a learning process, to be honest, because I've been doing it for so long. I think when I say how long I've been doing it, I think seriously, I really started once I came back from studying abroad in Hong Kong. So that was in 2014. And once I got home early 2015, that was when I was kind of very, very consistent and posting every day and, you know, cooking every day. But I feel like even when I scroll back on my feed right now, you definitely see a different style of what I was doing, either not just in food, but also in how I was editing my photos. And yeah, it took a long time, because 2015, I've been doing it for a good 4 years until I kind of developed my own style, I guess.
But I almost think in the big scheme of things, 4 years doesn't seem like, I mean, that is a short amount of time, I almost feel like.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I do. Okay, what were you doing in Hong Kong, studying abroad?
Yeah.
During college?
Abroad. Yeah, just for one semester.
Oh, nice. How was that?
Really cool. I don't think I learned a lot academically, to be honest, but it was definitely a great experience, even just to being so close to China, just because I was able to see my grandparents more often. And it was also, I think, a period of time for me where I guess, kind of became more comfortable in my own skin of traveling on my own, just exploring on my own. And it was really cool, because Hong Kong had a bunch of little hidden gems and restaurants and cafes that I would most of the time go to by myself just to check them out, or just walk, like kind of roam the streets of Hong Kong, and then would then take other friends that I made in Hong Kong there. And they were always really surprised by how I knew about all these places. But it's because most of the time outside of school, I spent just walking around and checking out different places where I could eat or have a cup of coffee. Yeah.
So it sounds like you've been have a love affair with food for quite a while. That's kind of been your thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Was there a big, growing up, was food a big influence in your family?
I wouldn't say so. I feel like growing up, my parents, they both worked full time. So And I never ate breakfast when I was young. So for me, lunch was always eaten at kind of like a daycare place where I would go after school with my brother. And then the only meal that we would really have as a family would be dinner. So our dinners were always like a warm dinner, which is not traditionally German. But there are definitely certain things I feel like, especially in Chinese culture, that is so grounded in food, where family life really is coming together and sharing food.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly how my upbringing shaped my love for food. But yeah, I don't know. Since I can remember, I was really interested in baking and just like mixing things together. My parents always tell me that when I was a kid and would sit in the bathtub, that I would just like mix all the shampoos and everything together. And I feel like baking is kind of similar in a sense.
Yeah, a little bit.
Start experimenting and just like putting the things that I felt like needed to be in, let's say, a cake, and just like failing a bunch of times until eventually you kind of start getting a feeling for what you have to do.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about, you're a vegan. How long have you had that lifestyle?
To be honest, I didn't label myself as being vegan until quite recently. It was probably just a few months ago that I fully committed to being vegan. But before, I've been eating a predominantly plant-based diet for about 4 years as well. So when I was in Hong Kong, for the most part, I was just eating vegetarian. And I've always been lactose intolerant, so most of my food was vegan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's funny because I feel like deep down, I always really, really knew that that was where I wanted to go. But I didn't quite want to label myself just because of all the social pressure that kind of comes with it. And I just wanted to eat the way that I wanted to eat without having to justify myself or putting a label onto myself.
Well, I think vegan would be, I was a vegetarian for, I don't know, 10 years maybe. Mm-hmm. Vegan just scares me for some reason. But going through your recipes.
Yeah, that's how I felt too, a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, I know that you have to get creative with it, but like, can we just talk about your chickpea cookie dough dip? I mean, what on earth?
I feel like something that I've posted like years ago. But yeah, I remember, I'm pretty sure I saw somewhere that they use chickpeas in a sweet context. And then I just tried it out myself and it's actually quite good. And you wouldn't think that it would be good.
No, I would not. But I'm almost tempted to try it just to taste. I'm like dying to taste that chick. When I read that, I'm like, that can't be. I'm not reading that right.
But a lot of people use beans in baking as well. And I guess in Chinese culture and Chinese or Asian sweets, you find a lot of like red bean paste or stuff like that. Typically seen as savory here, they kind of use and make it sweet. Yeah.
So tell me how you go about developing your recipes. Is it really just taking, you know, a bunch of your ingredients and mixing them up like you just described your bathtub? I mean, where do you draw your inspiration from?
I think I draw most of my inspiration just from different cultures. So it's not something, when I come up with a recipe, I don't typically think about, you know, ingredients or like measurements or anything like that, but mostly just flavors. So for example, if I know, I don't know, I want to make something that is more like Indian food, then I kind of play with the spices that go with it. And then I kind of think, oh, what would go well with that? And then, so that's kind of how I group my food, I guess. So it's kind of like an umbrella term of, should it be more like a Vietnamese style or should it be right, like Middle Eastern food or something like that? And then with that, I use different spices and then I kind of go into the different vegetables or whatever could go with that. Yeah.
How often are you cooking? And I know that you just got done with your thesis, so this may be, you may have to go back and when your life was a little more normal, but how often are you actually in the kitchen kind of developing new recipes and trying new flavors?
Well, I do cook every day, but if it comes to recipe development, then it's usually on the weekends, but then both days. So both Saturday and Sundays. Yeah.
I saw in one of your videos, you start your day with matcha, ginger, and lime tea. How do you, tell us real quick, how do you make that? Because that looks delicious. And I think those three ingredients, like, I would love to start my day with those. It sounds so healthy.
I think in that video I was using, I have a ginger blend that also has matcha in it. And then I just added lime because I felt like ginger and lime usually goes really well together. And
yeah.
And you have like lemony ginger, lemony green teas as well. So the three of those should go together pretty well. You could probably just slice up some ginger and some lime and then add some matcha powder. That should work.
Yeah. Well, I've not gotten on the matcha train yet, but I'm dying to try it. I just ordered one of the little whisks that you whip it up with. So I'm hoping that will inspire me to start making them.
I love matcha flavored things.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about Feed. It's kind of a new concept for me, but that's where you post your recipes.
No. So Feed, to me, for the most part, how I encountered them was on their Instagram. They share a lot of other food bloggers' posts, for one. And then they also, if they like a particular photo that you post there, they will ask you for the recipe. So I've been reposted by them quite a few times, and they've asked me to just ask me for recipes a number of times as well. And I guess that's how I ended up on their pages. Usually it's either the Feed vegan page or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, I couldn't figure out how that worked because you are featured quite a bit on their website.
Yeah. So they will usually shoot me like a message if I've posted something that they really liked and will ask for the recipe. And then I send them my recipe and then it usually makes it onto the blog.
Got it. Okay. So your YouTube, you're starting to have a big YouTube presence. Your videos, I love the music that you put with them. It's so soothing. And then your voice is great. You can tell that you had some sort of study that when you said you went abroad to study performance theater, but tell us how that all came about and what you'd like that, how kind of you want that to, I know you said you wanted to start posting once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because I pretty much started my YouTube earlier this year. And at first it was really just about, you know, trying to put my recipes into videos because I felt like that's one aspect on my Instagram that I've never really done. I know a lot of people either have a separate blog or they will post the recipes in the captions underneath the photos that they post, but I've never really shared my recipes actively. So I wanted to, first of all, kind of just give people that are interested the actual recipes. And then also my boyfriend at the time, he studied film, so he studied directing, and he was kind of encouraging me to start the YouTube, and he helped me out a lot with he was pretty much the cinematographer for most of my earlier recipe videos. And yeah, I just started out experimenting. And even the very first video was just supposed to be kind of like a demo type thing that we were shooting just to figure it out. And then we ended up posting it anyway. But I've been doing it now for, I guess, probably around 8 months, I'd say. And I've gotten quite a lot of nice feedback. And it's quite nice to have something like that to look back on as well. Not just my photos, but a video seems like such a more complete piece and you have to put in a lot more energy. And I end up being more proud of my YouTube videos, to be honest, than my normal photography sometimes.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think they're all so beautiful, but I do like the aspect of video because it personalizes things so much more. And you get, like, I got to see, you know, when you traveled to London and saw your brother and, you know, I just like, I love that. And the fact that you go through a whole day in one video, you get a sense of who you are and they're done really, really beautifully.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that was one thing that I'm trying to change even on my Instagram, because for a long time, I never really posted a picture of me, and it was all very anonymous, and it was just under my handle. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people just didn't know anything about me. And eventually I started to wanting to have that sort of connection because I realized how great it actually, or how cool it is to connect with people. And yeah, that's kind of how that came about. And then also why I'm starting to post more frequently, just like even a picture of myself.
Yeah. So when you start showing your face and talking about who you are as a person rather than just photos of your food, that's when you gain true connection.
Yeah, I feel like people, first of all, know who is behind the camera, and it's not just, oh, and here's my breakfast and here's my dinner.
Right.
But instead, it's much more just personable. Yeah.
Was that hard for you to make that transition? All of a sudden starting to show your face and, you know, the morning after a workout, that sort of thing?
On my YouTube, surprisingly, it really doesn't bother me just because it's still such a small following in comparison to my Instagram. But on Instagram, I felt like I was putting it off for so long that it did feel really weird to post something that was, I guess, more personal. So first posted a picture of myself after probably a couple years of never showing my face. It was definitely kind of like, oh my God, what's the reaction like?
And you just have to put yourself out there, right? You're going to get probably some haters. Yeah. But for the most part, people love that.
For sure. Yeah. I've never gotten any hate, like negative comments, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I don't really care about the numbers behind it either. I know that, for example, when I post a picture that's purely of myself and not involving food or something like that, that gets less comments or less likes than my regular photos. But at the same time, that's just probably a bigger part of me than my food is. So I don't really care how much attention that gets.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do think that you have an incredible sense of self-confidence, and that's just, you can see that through your videos. Have you always had that, or do you kind of have to learn as you grow and know that everyone is not going to like you and you put yourself out there for what you believe in?
Yeah, I think I definitely grew up being quite confident just because I feel like maybe it was even, you know, performing and being on stage and stuff like that really trained me at a young age. There are definitely things that I did, I guess, that maybe not that many people do when they're kids. So for example, I also played piano for about 15 years and had to do, you know, concerts, or I swam, did competitive swimming and stuff like that. So there's definitely parts of me and in my childhood where I was kind of putting myself out there. But yeah, I don't think I ever really had a big issue with, you know, even in school presenting or something like that. Mm-hmm. That never came as very difficult to me. Yeah.
Well, that will come in great handy next week when you're presenting your thesis.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have a blog. Is that something that you are trying to stay away from? Do you think you'll eventually get into that?
You know, it's funny because I've tried to start a blog multiple times in my life, but I think it's mostly because when it comes to a blog, I feel like I'm such a perfectionist of how even just the layout is that I never even get past the stage of, all right, I'm going to post on a regular basis now. So on my YouTube, it doesn't really matter because the platform isn't mine. But when it's something like a blog, I feel like I just want it to be perfect, and I don't think I will ever get to that stage. It's a lot of work. I mean, even I'm working full time, and then I'm taking my pictures just for my Instagram, and then I'm trying to, as promised, post a video every week, weekend this for December at least, and try to stay active on YouTube. And I feel like adding a blog on top of that would probably just be impossible. And that's kind of how I also see my YouTube. It's kind of my substitute for a blog, so I can post my recipes there instead of, you know, linking to a separate website.
Yeah. Well, I love a good blog, but I will tell you, I love video even more. And I think you're off to a great start. And when I saw that you promised 4 videos in December, I'm looking forward to them.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy you are.
I know. I loved it. Well, it gave me, like I said, a true sense of who you are. And Like, I am so curious when we talk to people, like, what's your daily life like? You know, I know because it looks so different, obviously, you know, we can talk about this until we're blue in the face, but what you put out there on social media is, you know, never quite like how it is in reality. So I don't know. It gave me a really good sense of who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So I like that. So after your thesis is finished and you have a master's in psychology, how do you plan or do you want to kind of blend these two, or will they always be separate, or do you see yourself going full steam into psychology and always having this as your passion, but doing it on the side? Where do you kind of see yourself going in the next few years? Which might be a really hard question at this point.
I definitely see myself working full-time in marketing for a few years. Right now, I am already working in marketing as an intern, but that internship is about to end at the end of February. And then I do see myself just starting a career in marketing for a few years. But then there's always that separate dream of mine where I kind of want to make the Sunshine Eatery into an actual cafe. So the eatery part also makes sense.
Yes.
But I feel like I definitely want to start my career in marketing. And then after I have worked there for a sufficient amount of time and have also a good chunk of finances on the side so I can invest into starting my own business in the sense of a cafe, then that is less risky for me just because I know that if the cafe actually does fail, I still have a career to fall back on.
Well, and it sounds like, I mean, your background in food, your degree in business psychology, your love of food. I mean, I think it would be an amazing venture.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would just be something that I would find really fulfilling. Not that I don't find my work right now fulfilling, because I actually really, really enjoy marketing. And I definitely see myself doing this for a long period of time. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's definitely that human connection that I am most interested in. I think that's also kind of at the basis of why I studied psychology, is just because I really am interested in people. And even through my Instagram, I was able to meet so many great people who share the same passion or, you know, are also interested in the same kinds of things. And it would be nice to connect with them in person instead of just over a screen. And working in marketing is great and is a lot of fun day to day. And I have a great team and everything, but I feel like it's still quite distant from, let's say, the end consumer, or it's quite distant from, I guess, my identity, since it's not something that I have created in a sense.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. I get that. Well, and it seems like a natural progression too. And I could see it would be vegan, right?
I think so. Yeah. No, I definitely think so. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what your favorite meal is to cook, like kind of a recipe you go back to again and again.
My favorite meal. That's a hard one because I feel like I just try to spice it up so much. But actually, if you saw my latest video, that is one recipe that I've made countless times. It's a very basic curry recipe. So the spices always stay the same. I always add the coconut milk and the chopped tomatoes, but then I will swap out legumes for chickpeas or for kidney beans or black beans, and then have it with kale or spinach or some other green, and then serve it either with bread or rice or whatever I have, really. So that's one thing that I feel like it's kind of like a last minute meal, because those are always pantry items. You can stock your canned tomatoes and your coconut milk and your beans, and it's always great to have that on hand if I'm, you know, in a hurry or something, or I don't have time to go shopping.
Well, I watched that video and I loved it. And I loved the colors and the sounds, and even the gold tablespoons that you used are beautiful. I just thought it was such a pretty, like, I'm hooked on your videos. I get such a sense of, and they're just beautiful. They're really beautifully done. So congrats to you for that. And I'd like to see a lot more.
There will be more to come.
Okay,
I promise.
Good. So the holidays are coming up. Are you going anywhere? Do you stay in Germany?
Yes, actually, I'm really excited about this. My entire family, so we're having a family vacation for the first time in a few years, I think. And we're going to be in South Africa for Christmas and for New Year's. And we've never been, and it's been a kind of like a childhood dream of mine to do a safari because I love animals.
Oh,
and
how amazing.
See an elephant or a lion. I think that's, yeah, it's going to be really special.
Oh, so you'll be there on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, we're going to fly there, I think, on the 22nd, and then we'll be there for a good 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How amazing. Well, I can't wait to see pictures on your feed from that. Maybe you can film some videos for us there too.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, we're going to move on to our Ask Everyone questions. Mm-hmm. What is one or two great tips you can share with our listeners? It could be about food, life, anything, travel.
One tip for sure is to actively pursue what you love to do. So if you don't enjoy either your major or your job right now, then I think one should always analyze what it is about your job that you dislike or what it is that you do like, and then try to move on into a direction that is more in line with what makes you happy. So for me, I was very lucky that I really, really enjoyed university and my major, and also being able to do my kind of my food journey on the side, and now kind of doing it simultaneously, and then actually, you know, coming together quite nicely, because I see that what I'm doing on the side as a so-called influencer is actually very beneficial for a career in marketing, and then vice versa, because I'm working in marketing, I'm gaining more experiences that I can put back into my account. And so for me, it's really kind of the best of both worlds right now. But I feel like you don't have to put all your eggs into one basket. Just because you're choosing one major or one job, it doesn't mean that you're going to have to do that for the rest of your life. And also, it doesn't mean if you're going to put all of your cards into being an artist or something, that you will not find enjoyment in something else, or that that is the only route that you can go down. I feel like we're quite lucky in a sense in this generation that it's becoming more and more fluid with what a job could be. And so I feel like since you'll spend most of your life working anyway, do something that you see value in, or
right,
at least
or makes you happy. I know oftentimes I love that, because I think so often we find ourselves stuck in something that either we've been in for a while or something that we thought we were supposed to do. And it takes a lot of guts to move on if you're not happy and it's going to, you know, completely change everything. But I like that. It kind of is, it gives you a little bit of permission, a little bit of wiggle room. If you're not happy, you have the ability to change it.
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, people in general, we're all scared of change and we're all scared of the unknown and we worry a lot, and then we don't end up doing things just out of fear. But at the end of the day, I feel like the only way we can really step out and create change is by stepping over those fears. And if that's in terms of a job, then yeah, I don't see why you should stay in a job just because you've been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much out there.
If I call you at 9 a.m. on any given day, what are you most likely doing?
At 9 a.m., I am most likely at work. Very boring answer, but yeah, that's the truth.
Reality. What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
I think people would be surprised to know that I really wanted to be a singer at some point. Yeah. Or that I didn't come from, you know, a traditional, I don't know, business degree or something, and that I studied psychology. I think it's quite interesting how my life turned out. And because I have so many interests, it's always quite surprising to some people that I have so many hobbies, or that I, you know, have tried or am interested in a lot of things at the same time.
Do you think you'll ever sing on one of your YouTube videos?
Ooh, maybe. I don't know.
Not to put yourself too much out there.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. Well, think about it. I'd like to hear you. Okay. You've unplugged. How do you decompress?
I think I usually decompress or get rid of stress by working out and then taking a nice warm shower, snuggling myself into a blanket with a cup of tea, and then either watching YouTube videos or reading a book.
Who are three people you love to follow on Instagram?
Three people. So there is a duo that I absolutely love. They're also German. They're based in Berlin and they're called Krautkopf. I guess in English you would say Krautkopf. Okay. I don't know. But they're fantastic. I love their recipes. I love their photography. They are actually employed, or they're freelance photographers, usually wedding photography. But I absolutely love their sense of style and their composition and how they showcase what food could look like. There's another girl called Daria. She's also German. I think she might be Austrian. But she's really, really proactive in when it comes to sustainability. And she's also vegan, but she's just a very, I guess, influential person or inspirational person when it comes to things like sustainability, zero waste, and kind of trying to promote a positive change. And then lastly, there is another girl. She's actually a friend of mine. Her name is Venetia Falconer. And I met her when I was in London. And she's also just extremely funny, witty, has a great podcast, and vegan, loves all things sustainability. And I really like her personality.
I saw your video with her. She seems adorable.
Yeah,
like
she's
a very fun personality.
Yeah, she's really, I absolutely love her.
Excluding social media, what is your favorite app?
It would probably be Headspace. So that's the app that I use for meditation.
I love it. I just downloaded that for the second time. I deleted it because I got so mad at myself for not being able to do it. And then I just put it back on.
But don't you feel like, I mean, at least I'm the kind of person when I'm on a streak and I see the numbers going up every day, I feel like, have to really be consistent. Like I can't just like break my streak right now.
I know. Well, so, that's what got me in trouble last time. So I'm vowing to do it consistently. You'll be my good inspiration. So what book are you currently reading?
Right now I'm reading The Vegetarian, but there was a book that I've been recommending to, I feel like, everyone in my friends and family circle, A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. It's incredible. Like, I could not put it down. I think it's about 800 pages or so. And I was reading it while writing my thesis, which was, it was not a good idea because I could not continue writing before I actually finished the book.
What is it about?
It's about four boys. And it's kind of like a coming to age story. And they have just graduated from university. And it's kind of how they start managing their life growing up or in New York after they've graduated. And just the characters I absolutely fell in love with. And it's kind of like a story about friendship and love and identity, and also just like the stories that lie behind a person.
Tell me the name again.
A Little Life.
A Little Life. Okay, I'm ordering it.
It's so good.
Describe your perfect day.
My perfect day. I think it would be sleeping in. So usually my perfect day is my Sunday. So it's sleeping in. I like to go on a run on Sundays and then have brunch at my place, either with a friend or even just by myself. And Sundays are waffle days at my place, which a lot of friends have already witnessed. And then maybe if it's with a friend, just going on a long walk, having good conversations. And since it's Christmas right now, probably going to the Christmas markets for a cup of mulled wine.
What is your beverage of choice, both in the AM and PM?
Tea and tea. I'm just kidding. For the most part, since I don't drink alcohol a lot, but if I do, it's white wine. But I actually do start my morning with tea, and usually the last beverage that I do have is tea as well.
What city has you shedding a tear when you leave?
It would have to be New York, New York City. I love that city.
Do you have a current Netflix addiction?
To be honest, I have not been on Netflix for a long time.
You have not had time. I get that.
Yeah, well, for one, not the time, but also I've been trying to just read more, and I usually end up watching a lot of YouTube videos instead of like watching a series or something. But the last series that I actively watched was This Is Us, but then I found out yesterday that I'm missing the entire third season, which has now aired.
Okay, so you've mentioned a few times you like to watch YouTube videos in your downtime. What do you primarily watch, cooking or other things?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a lot of people that I watch that have some sort of connection with food. A lot of vegan YouTubers I watch. There are some cooking channels that are just food. And then there are some random ones that I just find funny or, yeah, just entertaining to watch that are mostly... I've become really obsessed with one guy, and his name is Niall Wilson, and he's a gymnast, like an Olympian gymnast from the UK. And they just do really, really funny challenges, but in the realm of gymnastics. So I've been watching videos recently.
What song do you currently have on repeat?
What song? That's a good question. I really like a guitarist called Pliny, and he put out a EP a few months back, and there's one song on there called, it's a French word, flâneur, and that song is really, really good. I really love that song. It's acoustic, so there's no singing or anything. It's instrumental.
This is an off question, but how many languages do you speak?
I speak 3 languages fluently, so Mandarin, German, and English. And then I had French in school, in middle school, for 5 years, but it's...
That's what made me ask. Your accent sounded so pretty.
No, it's really like, I can still order food, which is sufficient.
All right, that's all you need, right?
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite beauty product?
I don't think I do. I'm quite simple when it comes to beauty products. I do have one cleanser from Aesop that I really like, but I'm not really too fussy.
I love that line. That's all clean, vegan, right? That line, Aesop?
No, I feel like I'm just lazy because I will watch kind of like tutorials and I just feel like I don't have time for it.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not interested in it, but I feel like it's a lot of work and it's just not important enough for me to really invest in. Yeah.
Who would you love to have coffee or tea with, rather?
Probably Haruki Murakami. He's an author, a Japanese author, and I've read a lot of his books and they're great. But if it also includes people that have passed away already, then it's probably my grandmother.
Do you live by a motto?
I don't, but there is one saying, the only way out is through, that has helped me a lot in times when I feel like I'm overwhelmed or in a rough spot. Yeah, that's kind of a saying that I will remind myself of when I'm having like a bad day. Yeah.
How did you come up with the name of your blog, or actually your handle?
I came up with it when I was in Hong Kong, and I was just brainstorming because at that point I really wanted to start a blog. And I felt like I couldn't start something without having an actual name. And Sunshine is kind of grounded in the fact that I grew up and people would just tell me that I'm a very sunny person. So in Chinese, that's yangguang. And that kind of stuck with me. And eatery, I'm not sure. But I'm pretty sure I remember writing down different things that I felt like were a part of me or that would represent who I am. And that's just kind of how it came about. And then it just kind of stuck and never left.
What is a food that you absolutely will not eat?
Absolutely will not eat. I honestly will have to say meat at this point of any form. Not because I'm disgusted by it necessarily, because people around me eat meat all the time, but it's been just so not a part of my life in for the past years that I cannot picture myself cutting into a steak or something like that. That just feels unnatural to me.
What meal would you choose as your last meal?
My parents' dumplings, for sure.
Okay, I forgot to ask about the dumplings. You have several pictures of those, and honestly, I can taste them looking at them. They look so good.
I know. I feel pretty spoiled in that sense. That's my dad, especially. My dad is kind of the cook in the family. And growing up, it was an activity that we would even do together. So my mom would go cut the chives, and then my dad would roll out the dough, and then we would kind of wrap them together. So it just reminds me of home, and it's the one thing that I feel like I will never find in a restaurant, and it will be the same. Yeah.
And now your parents make them vegan for you?
Yes. Yeah. We went through stages because obviously I grew up eating the traditional meat version. And then when I went vegetarian, they adjusted it to making it vegetarian with kind of like a scrambled egg and chive filling. And now that I'm completely vegan, it's usually a Chinese dry spiced. It's kind of like I think it's called dry spiced tofu because it's kind of marinated with five spice, but it's a dip. Tastes completely different from regular tofu, and they just cut that into little chunks and mix it with a chive, and then yeah.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
Ooh, my biggest pet peeve. I think when people are unreliable. Maybe that's because I'm such a Virgo. I'm definitely someone who really likes to keep everything clean and likes to be on time and reliable. And that's definitely also a quality that I really value in my friends and in the people around me, that they're reliable. So I feel like when I can't rely on someone or someone is, you know, just flaking, then yeah, that's not something that I really like.
Well, you're talking to a fellow Virgo, so I get it. Okay. I totally get it. What is the best gift you've ever received?
The best gift I've ever received would probably be a painting that I received on my 21st birthday. And it was a painting that my boyfriend told another fellow film student of his who was really good painter, but she was an illustrator or at least in animation or something like that. And it's just filled with kind of like inside jokes and things that we would talk about. So when other people see that painting, they just think it's a really nice painting and it's cute, but it means so much more to me. Yeah.
What is the best gift you've ever given?
That's a hard one. I feel like I try to be as thoughtful as possible, and I feel like the best gifts aren't materialistic. So I try to give experiences. So for example, to my brother just recently, his 27th birthday, I gifted him and his girlfriend together a sushi cooking class because they both really, really enjoy sushi. And so something like that, or I've gifted concert tickets before, or even just trips and stuff like that. I feel like those are much greater gifts because you have memories than something that you can hold in your hand. Yes, for sure. That's great too. And not to bash any materialistic presents, but I feel like as you grow older, there are only so many things that you can have and really cherish. And I feel like memories, you'll never have enough memories.
What is the last thing you Googled?
Interestingly, I think it was a good Google Slides, just like a theme or template for my presentation.
One last question. What is the greatest life advice you have ever received?
The greatest life advice. So recently, I feel like I'm the kind of person who gets very stressed when I feel like things are out of my control. And especially now, you know, graduating and I feel like everyone feels that way when you graduate and you feel like, all right, now what? what do you do? You have all these possibilities, but you really don't know where you're going to end up. And my mom said something really great to me in the process of me applying for different jobs. And in Chinese, it's 做事在人，成事在天, which means doing the thing is up to the person, or giving your best shot and putting in the work is up to the person. But if it's going to work out is up to the sky, so up to the heavens. That really stuck with me because it really reflected how I was feeling, because I can only put in as much as I can put in to the best of my ability. And if it's going to work out, it's going to work out. And if it's not, then it wasn't really meant to be to begin with, I guess.
I love that. And I love too that you said, I mean, when you put forth 100% of your effort, you know that that's all you can do. And if you're not putting forth that effort, then you need to do more. I mean, that's such simple advice, but it's really like, if you want something, work your tail off to make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, then it was not meant to be. But at least you know you worked as hard as you could to do
exactly.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like one of my biggest fears in life, besides that, you know, terrible things happen to the people I love, is regret.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I know that I put in the right amount of effort and did everything that I could, then there's no regrets for me in the end. Yeah.
Well, Viola, I think this is a great way to end the show. What an amazing advice. And we can't wait to continue following you and especially see your YouTube videos and your travels to Africa. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
So before we say goodbye, tell everyone where we can find you online and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find me at the Sunshine Eatery on Instagram and also the Sunshine Eatery on YouTube.
Okay, well, it was a joy to talk to you today, and we can't wait to continue following you and keep up with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and being interested.
Of course, and one day maybe we'll go to Germany and visit the Sunshine Eatery Cafe.
Absolutely, I would love that.
All right, take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so time for a little host-to-host chat. So this is coming out, this episode, on January 15th, and that means that I'm officially 2 weeks into a whole 30.
Ooh.
I know. It's been
pretty impressive.
It's been about 10 months since I've done one, and I'm in great need of one, so I'm sort of excited to do it. And so hopefully, when you're listening to this 2 weeks in, it will be something I'm excited about. But I do want to say, so in 2 days, January 17th, we're going to be releasing a blog post on our website that is like all of our Whole30 favorite recipes from all of our Whole30 favorite bloggers. So that will be something to look forward to. And hopefully I will have been cooking out of most of those. So hopefully something.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to follow along and maybe do like a day of Whole30 here and there with you and Jade.
I know. Exciting.
Because you know my history with Whole30. It's not
I do know. Yeah, because you're like ultimately a much disciplined person as far as our eating habits go. And yet I can do a Whole30 and you can't.
And I can't.
And so that's fascinating to me because you really are like overall much more disciplined. But I don't know.
But there's something like, remember when you did that 21-day juice fast? Like I've done a 3-day one and I basically wanted to poke my eyeballs out. It was the worst thing ever. Well, so it is pretty funny. I have longevity, but you can do like short term.
I guess that's probably a good way to look at it. Yeah. Okay, well, we want to thank you for listening today. And if you like the show, we'd love for you to head over to iTunes and give us a positive review. You can find us at wegettoknow.com, where you can sign up for our newsletter, and we're on social media at wegettoknow. Head over to Instagram. We'd love to hear from you and get your opinions on guests and show ideas. Our music is provided by the talented Blake Atwell of Studio 1916. Until next time, take care as we continue to get to know all of our favorite people.